Welcome to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and these are the 24th Street Wailers.
Why are you so good to me?
Mike Archer, I play bass.
And I'm Lindsay Beaver, I'm the lead singer as well as the drummer.
We have John Wong, and he plays the tenor sax.
And Emily Burgess, she plays the electric guitar.
What's the story of the 24th Street Wailers? How did you come together?
We met at music school, which was not my favorite experience, but I'm glad I went because I wouldn't have met my band there, which was, you know, really great. But we all met there, and it was mostly a jazz school, and, you know, I was looking for people to play more roots and blues music with, and these guys were the right ones to find. So it's sort of, we played together for a while, and then eventually we're like, well, maybe we should make this a band. So we made it a band.
How long have you been together now?
2.5 years.
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah. I guess I'd describe our music as roots music, I guess. But, you know, there's some rock and roll in there and some jazz influence for sure. And
but it's rooted in the blues.
I mean,
we play shuffles and, you know, it's rooted in, like, for instance, I come from a more traditional background, like, you know, listening to Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon and all that. And Emily and I do the writing. So Emily's influence is a little more modern. She's like kind of the Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bonnie Raitt, Tedeschi Trucks kind of fan. So it's sort of a combination of things. Plus, we all listen to different stuff, like I love the Black Keys and all that. So it's sort of a mishmash of a lot of things. And because it's original music, it's never really going to be quite like the traditional stuff.
About the new album, how did Unshakeable come together?
Well, we really started to not like our first album.
God, no.
No, I'm just kidding.
That would be Dirty Little Youngins was the first album.
Yes, that's right. We just found that we had changed a lot quickly. and we needed to record a new CD with new songs just to really, you know, capture what we were doing live at the time.
Yeah, because the first record, I mean, we had 16 hours to do it. We'd never recorded a record together. We had an organ player who had left us a week before the recording session. And, you know, so it was like one of these things where we kind of got thrown in. And John and Emily, especially, I think, felt really a lot of pressure. This time was a lot different. We'd been touring together as this group for a while. And when you do that, not all the tunes were done on the tour, but like three quarters of them we played for a while, and everything grew a little better, and we know each other better, and it needed to be done, because what we were, every time I passed one of the old records off to someone, it's not that I didn't like it, but I thought, this isn't, they're buying what they saw live, and that record doesn't sound like that now, you know? And so it was like, we really got to get in and do another one, because people are coming to the show and they want to take that show home with them, and that first record is not really what we would do anymore, right?
Yeah, this one really captures really, you know, what we're going to sound like.
Yeah.
And this one we can build upon it.
Yeah.
You know?
So what
the first one did what it was supposed to do. It got us out there. Everybody got to hear, and there's a few gems on that record that I still love and we still do live. But this one really feels like the first one, you know? Yeah. Like, it's got that feeling about it.
To a shameful degree, so tonight it's just Jack, Jim, Johnny, and me.
About the title track and how it became the title track.
This was tough. We didn't actually know what to call the record for a long time. Like, we couldn't pick a thing. Yeah. Youngins was easy because it was, that's a fun title. I don't know why this one was harder. What did we consider calling it?
Bring It Back.
Bring It Back, yeah. And then we were going to call it Howl and Sing.
Yeah.
But we didn't like that one. And it ended up that Unshakable's probably one of the more progressive sounding tracks. And it's just, I think it's a kind of a ballsy title to have, you know, like, we're not shakable, even though, I mean, the tune's, it's sort of written about me, but, I mean, anybody could really relate to some of that, I'm sure.
I just thought it was a good title, plus yeah. I thought that tune recorded really well.
Yeah.
Born 3 months early, pretty nearly dead, right from the start. Had to be ahead. Feel bad for my mother. She couldn't hold me down. Not too much has changed between then and now. Well, no matter how hard you try, I always put up a fight. I'm so much more than capable. I'm unshakable. We met.
my very favorite is the instrumental. It's a sort of a classic shuffle blues tune. It's called Love Triangle. And we got two really fantastic East Coast guitar players to come in. And I asked Emily to write this instrumental. And I would get these two guys. One is Carter Chaplin, who played with Dutch Mason forever. And another guy who's not known, as far as I know anyway, he's getting out there now. His name's Mark Doucette, and they're just fantastic players. And the three of them played so well together, it's really something to hear. I love that one a lot.
Obviously, you're attached to all the songs on Unshakeable. Are there other favorites that that stand out for you?
Oh, Howlin' for sure. I love Howlin'. It's only two and a half minutes long, And it's awesome. It's probably the one that was like, we got into the room. It was the first take. It was right, and it was. We just sat there and were like, "Yeah, this is pretty cool." Like,
yeah, when we recorded that one, we thought people are either really going to like this or they're really going to hate it.
There's not going to be any middle ground with that one.
Yeah.
It's definitely probably the most, like, sort of rock-oriented one that we've got ever.
Yeah, you know, we turned up the distortion and, you know, really, really crunched it up.
Want you so bad, baby, asking you to stay. Want you so bad, baby, I'll make you wish for a 29-hour day. Sure do love to watch you walk away from me. No, you'll bring it back, darling, 'cause you like the way that I howl and sing.
One of the tracks that stood out for me, partly because of the change of pace, is I'm Not Free.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And there were times there I wondered, were you maybe Lindsay channeling a little bit of Amy Winehouse? I could almost hear that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm a fan of her. Yeah, that one was another one that was like sort of one take. And we got in the room, I was like, I don't know if I could do any better than that one. Like, I think that's the keeper. So that one had some, yeah, that was a good moment. For sure. Yeah.
You guys,
yeah, sometimes when you record and, you know, you just feel it, you know, when you're done the song, you know, and you go, well, okay, I'm not going to play that again because it's not going to get any
it's
better.
It's just right. Leave it alone. Yeah. You really have to trust yourself.
There. That was one of those.
I'm not the type that can sit and do take after take after take. It's either there in the first couple or it's not. And then I have to leave it alone because it's the, you know, it has to happen that way. I don't know.
Catching up with me, I can't welcome you. with open arms, I'm not free. And how should I say words that can only be locked in silence for a lifetime, maybe more? I don't have to see a slightly lingered glance that hints romance, and it shakes me. And when will I learn the things they don't ever change? You can only go so long and play so hard with this lonesome game.
So this will be your first time at Vancouver Island Music Fest. What turned the trick? What got you guys out here?
We met Doug Cox at a conference for folk festivals here in Ontario. And, you know, it was kind of like by random chance. They were doing these one-on-one sessions, and I was happened to be walking by the sign-up sheet, and I was like, oh, Doug Cox, he seems like a pretty cool guy. And, you know, so I wrote my name down so I could get 15 minutes to talk with him, and it turned out that he saw our showcase at this conference, and he really liked us
and gave us some really good advice too.
Yeah,
he's a really good guy.
And because of the Vancouver Island Music Fest, we've now been able to turn the whole summer into a cross country tour.
Yeah,
so
that was sort of like the first West Coast gig that we've ever had. I've actually never even been out west. This is going to be cool, but. It was, we got that one, and then we said, okay, well, now we need to make this work. We need to make sense of it. And we ended up booking everything all around that. So there's a few other festivals we're doing and as a result, because we're out that way. And then there's all sorts of cities we're seeing. That was sort of what, like, it bloomed everything else for us.
Yes.
So we're going to be the Western anchor of the 24th Street Whalers Tour. Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
the 24th Street Wailers on the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. It takes an awful lot of work by a lot of people to make the Music Fest run smoothly, and so much of the work takes place before the crowds arrive. Just ask Glenn Foster, Music Fest construction coordinator.
I'm in charge of setting up tents and the infrastructure that belongs to Music Fest, ticket booths, tents, stages, anything that they require in the way of construction, floors for the food tents and anything that's needs floors or fencing, all that.
That must be quite a involved process. How long does it take to actually set up the Music Fest?
We did a little over 4,000 person hours, volunteer hours last year.
My goodness. So how early do you start before opening day?
We get to the coordinators get together and set the site out on Sunday, and then we'll be starting this year Monday on the 1st, and so we have 5 days or 4.5 days to set up the festival, and then there's 2 to 3 days of tear down at the end.
So how big a crew do you have?
Approximately 120. I have four or five people that actually help me out as co-coordinators. Heather Foster does fencing, Scott McKee does all the flooring. I have a person doing tents and a crew that sets up stages and that sort of thing. So I have maybe 6 or 8 crews on the go at the same time.
That's Music Fest construction coordinator Glenn Foster. Thanks for listening to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan. And thanks to Helen Austin and Todd Butler for bringing it on home.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.